everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Our special guest today, Dr. Ed Dobby, he is going to be talking about using some of our emotions as tools to help us. I think as we go through our reintegration, learning how to maybe use something that we have a problem with, like anger, and check it and to put it in proper perspective and to use it as a positive. I don't know. We're going to talk to Dr. Ed about that right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey. Mathers Rodney at yahoo.com. That's how you get in touch with me. I love to hear from you. MathersRodney at yahoo.com. And welcome back. My guest today is Dr. Ed Dobby. He's going to be talking to us about a couple of his books. He's got a book called Beyond Anger Management, Master Your Anger as a Strategic Tool, and Emotions as Tools, a Self-Help Guide to Controlling Your Emotions. Dr. Dobby, welcome to The Journey of Hope.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure. We always like to start by having our guests tell us a little bit about themselves. Can you tell us about yourself, Dr. Dobby?
Sure. I'm retired now, but, Mike, I spent 32 years working for the California Youth Authority, okay, which is now called the California Department of Corrections Juvenile Division.
Gotcha.
And I was charged with, I was working with young women at the time on an intensive treatment unit. And my job was basically to put them back together. These young women were locked up because they had committed serious crimes, but virtually 98% of them had histories of physical, sexual abuse. And I came out of graduate school, and I had all of my theories and all of my, because their level of understanding what emotions are was way different from what mine was.
Okay.
I had to develop a way to communicate with them, and I came up with the idea of using, and my thought was, everybody knows what a tool is. We all know what a hammer is, we all know what a saw is, or we all know what a sewing machine is, or we all know what a remote control is, and we don't have any problem with that. You take a tool and you learn how to master it, and the same way, and the problem is I found that in our country, in our culture, we don't train people. We don't teach them what emotions are. And consequently, when somebody gets angry or they get anxious, they assume that the emotion is in control and they do things that they later regret. So I've kind of made it my mission to correct some of the misinformation that's out there. So I've used the model with, certainly when I was working in the Youth Authority, mm-hmm, I've used it as a speaker for folks like, trying to think of the name of the group, I lost it there, but I've used it with a local law enforcement, I've used it in a number of different settings, and the feedback that I get is, oh, that makes sense. Emotions are just tools. Can learn how to master them. They don't control me anymore. The remote control masters me. And so it's been real helpful with the groups that I've worked with.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start this way then. Just tell me how your approach can help people deal with their emotions. What is the approach and how does it help?
Okay. The approach is first to accept that can use your emotions to help you interact with people and to make your life better. There are emotional myths that people need to understand, and the first one is negative emotions. Let me put it in context for you. The way emotions work is this. We are, all of us are constantly scanning our environment for any kind of threat. We've been doing that since we lived in caves.
Okay.
And when we lived in caves, that worked. What happens is we constantly scan our environment. We're looking for threats. When we see a threat, to react. What we do is instead of reacting, we need to say, wait a minute, I need to take a step back, whether I'm angry or I'm anxious, take a step back and take a breath. And that's the most important thing, by the way. Whenever your listeners find themselves getting angry or experiencing emotion that they don't particularly like, the first thing they need to think about is take a breath, which then calms them down physiologically,
okay,
and take a step back so that they can look at it and ask themselves the question, what's the nature of the threat? Do I need to do anything about it? Is somebody trying to rob me? Is somebody insulting me? Or is somebody I think they should not be doing? It's a different kind of threat. That's
right.
A psychological threat. And we don't have to always do anything about psychological threats. I understand, I guess, that a lot of your audience are ex-offenders. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. What they've been trained to do more likely is when you see a threat, you attack it, because if you don't, it'll attack you. And that's what they've learned. Well, that doesn't work when you get out of prison or when
no,
you get out of lockup.
It doesn't. And we talk about that a lot here. What would be your approach then for the psychological threat when we need to let things go? Would that be the same as taking a breath, or is there a different technique involved just to let something go?
Okay, letting go is good, but it may not always be the strategy that you want to take.
Okay.
It's an option.
Okay.
And what I'd like your audience to understand is they have many options available to them once they're not in a lockup situation where people are controlling them. And that's happening when you're in lockup. The security staff are controlling you. The other folks in lockup are controlling you. So in that situation, yeah, you need to fight back. But when you get out, now you have to ask yourself, wait a minute, what's the nature of the threat? Am I physically being threatened? Am I being psychologically threatened? If this person doesn't like what I've done, my boss says, you know, you messed up on that when you didn't do what I told you to do. Well, the first reaction is to be, wait a minute, you can't tell me what to do. You can't control me. I'm going to attack you. No. Take a breath, take a step back and say, what's going on here? My boss is my boss, and he's got a right to tell me what he thinks I need to do or not do. So in this case, I simply need to say, what do you need done, boss? That's it. So what I did was I said, our listeners have to practice this, taking a breath. And I said, wait a minute, what's the threat? And I kind of went through in my mind a checklist. Nope, everything's okay at work. Everything's okay at with my classes. And I decided, okay, there is no threat that I can see, so now I'm going to let it go. At which point I said, yeah, I know I'm feeling anxious. There's no reason for me to be anxious, so I'm not going to continue with that emotion. And it went away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was gas or what, but whatever it was, at that point I just let go, because that was the option that seemed to be most appropriate in that situation.
You know, I think that all of us have that issue with anxiety. I just think that our ability to deal with it is what separates us. But I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, having worked with offenders, you know that there's this big issue that, and this sounds silly to people that haven't been through an incarceration experience, but it's this whole idea of respect. Okay, you get out and somebody says something to you that doesn't set well with you, and this issue of being disrespected is so internalized while you're incarcerated, and you have to strike back when you're incarcerated, or they will, like you said at the beginning of our talk, you know, they'll come in your cave and eat you, you know. So
yep.
So what you
yep.
have to do is you have to deprogram yourself from this internalized thing you have about being respected and disrespected. Do you address that? And what tips could you give us along those lines today?
Yeah, I do. I will address it. I would often say to the young women and men that I worked with, I would say, okay, you have learned to cope with and survive in this lockup situation. And the fact that you're here talking to me and you haven't gotten more time says you're doing it well. You've learned to survive in this setting. Okay, but let me ask you this question. Do you want to stay locked up for the rest of your life or get out into society? Well, gee, Dr. Dobby, I want to get out into society and I don't want to be locked up. Cool. Okay, then you're set of rules, because the rules that you operate under in lockup don't work when you get out. Now, if you understand that, then the next step is to say, okay, you want respect. Well, no. I hope, by the way, Mr. Person who's in lockup, that you want respect. That's important. Mm-hmm. You demand that you get respect, but let's take a look what you need to change. What do you want to be respected for? Do you want to be respected for the stand up and beat other people up? Dig it out. Or do you want to be respected for the fact that you can be to get to places on time, you can do what you can take care of business, you can do what needs to be done? It's the same respect, but it's being respected for a different set of characteristics.
It's excellent. Excellent, excellent. I really like what you're saying there. Okay, you talk about using anger, which is a problem for most of us that are listening to the show. It causes us, when it's unchecked, to be impulsive and to do things that are irrational. But you talk about using anger as a strategic tool. What do you mean by that? And tell us what that's all about.
Okay. When I talk about a strategic tool, I talk about using anger in the context of a strategy. Let's use an analogy. If I'm doing a strategic strike, I am going to take out a specific target. I'm going to try and minimize collateral damage. I'm going to take out that target. That's my mission. When I talk about using anger as a strategic tool, I'm talking about using it specifically to deal with a situation in which your listeners find themselves. Now, so what I mean, they get out and they're working and their boss comes at them sideways and yells at them out of the middle of nowhere. Well, if you've been incarcerated, your response is going to be, nobody yells at me.
Right.
I'll show you.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So they get angry. Well, their anger is appropriate in that situation because there is indeed a real threat, if you will. This person came at them sideways and shouldn't be doing that. So they get angry. Well, the next step is to say, okay, how do I use the energy that my anger is giving me to resolve the situation that in which I find myself? My boss is yelling at me. What are my options? Well, I can go off on the boss and tell him to stuff it and walk out. Not a good choice.
No.
Or I can say, wait a minute. Excuse me, boss. What's going on? What did I do that you're kind of coming at me that way? The anger is still there, but the energy of the anger is being used to resolve the interaction with the boss. Instead of stuffing it, which you don't want your listeners to do, geez, you know, I'm really pissed, but I'm not going to say anything. But I'm not going to say anything, because what's going to happen later is the next time the boss does something, the behavior might not be controlled, and now they'll lose their job. Or they'll go home and they'll beat the dog or beat the girlfriend.
Right.
So using it strategically would be to say, I'm angry, and I'm correctly angry, but how am I going to use that anger? What's my response going to be rather than my reaction? How am I going to respond to the boss? And the appropriate thing would be to say, what's going on, boss? I don't understand. And then the boss will calm down and will say, well, you didn't do X, Y, and Z. Man, I'll take care of it. You okay. See how that works?
Excellent.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about what your feelings are about, you know, but you don't want us as ex-offenders to be doormats. I mean,
no,
we can be overly passive, and that's not going to get us anywhere. We don't want to be overly like aggressive in a response to a situation like you're giving us right now. So how do you strike that balance where you're assertive? You know, you're not overly passive, overly aggressive, but somewhere in the middle, assertive. How do we do that?
That's a really good question. And the approach I suggest that your listeners take is this. The first thing they need to decide is, what is their goal? If their goal is to stay out, as I hope it is, then that necessitates them learning what the rules of the how society rules, how society works, excuse me. Now, then the next thing they need to say is, I want respect. So what respect what do I want to be respected for? They can decide that I want to be respected for being a good guy, for taking care of business, for doing what needs to be done. The third thing is, and this is the most important thing they need to keep in mind, is one, including themselves. Everything that they in every situation, they do the best they can with the information that they have. Let me repeat it, because I'm not saying what they do is correct.
Okay.
Because it often isn't. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten locked up in the first place.
Right.
But everybody, including themselves, everything we do, we always do in the situation with the information we have and the way we look at what's going on. That is, your boss comes up to you and comes at you sideways. My assumption is he's doing the best he can with the information that he has. I don't like what he's doing, and it's wrong, but he thinks he's doing the right thing. So let me find out what he sees is going on before I jump to a conclusion.
Okay.
It's not letting the boss off the hook. He's doing the best he can, and what he's doing makes no sense to me. I need to find out why he's doing it. And this would be true even if they're in a situation with their girlfriend. She comes at him sideways, or he comes at her sideways. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to go off on you. You say, wait a minute. What you're doing? What's your reasoning? What are you thinking? And when you find that out, now you can choose how you want to interact with this person. Another way to look at Stephen Covey in the 7 Habits of Effective People: seek first to understand and then be understood. And it's a really valuable lesson. What it says is, what you're doing, but I want to find out why you're doing it. And once I find out why you're doing it, then I can choose how I want to.
Dr. Dobby, this is yeah. Are you there?
I'm here.
You cut out on me.
I
missed the last part of what you said there.
Oh, what I'm saying is, let me go back over it again. The first thing is to decide what, and the goal is to stay out.
Right.
To stay out, you have to do certain things. The second thing is to decide, okay, what do I want to be respected for? I want an upfront person. I want to be respected for, I want to be respected for who, all of that. Then the third thing, as I was saying, and this is the most important, is to everybody does the best they can do in the situation with the information they have and how they see what's going on. This doesn't mean that comes at you, and I keep coming back, because this is where disrespect comes in. If your boss comes at you sideways, it doesn't mean what he's doing is right. What it does mean is he's doing the best he can in the situation as he sees it. So, if you understand that, then the next thing is to say, let me understand why he's coming at me this way.
Right.
I said, Stephen Covey, Habits of Highly Effective People, said, seek first to understand and then be understood.
Right.
This is tough for people who have been locked up, because when you're locked up, you need to react. And you look at what a person does. Why they do it doesn't matter. You look at what they're doing. When you get out into society, you have to look at the reasons behind what they're doing to understand that, in order to determine what you're going to do next. Mm-hmm. And so if our listeners will just take the time to say, wait a minute, yeah, I don't like what he's doing. I don't like her, but she's yelling at me. She's calling me names. I don't like what she's doing, but let me understand what's going on because she's important to me. So if I then ask her, hey, well, you know, what's going on? And she tells me, well, you did this, this, and this, or you didn't do this, that, and that. Now I know how I want to respond to her rather than react. That seek first to understand and then be understood. When you're locked up, it's, no, you need to understand me, and I don't care what you're...
Right.
You need to know what's going on with me because I'm the most important thing here. Does that make sense?
It does to me, and this is something that we've addressed on the show before. I really like your approach. These books, I haven't read either one of them, but I would like to. The books are called Beyond Anger Management, Master Your Anger as a Strategic Tool and Emotions as a Tool. It's a self-help book to controlling your life, not your emotions. Dr. Ed Dobby,
yeah, huh?
Thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope. I wish we had more time. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and if you ever want me back, you know how to find me. I think we would like to come back.
I think we would love to have you back. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. MATHERSRODNEY at yahoo.com. You got an idea for a show? Is there a topic you'd like for me to cover? Got a criticism? Send it on. I'll be glad to discuss it with you. And I love hearing from you. Let me know your success stories as well. Let me know how that reintegration is going, okay? MathersRodney@yahoo.com. And that's all we have time for. I'd like to thank my special guest today, Dr. Ed Dobby, and remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.